Okay, brothers, let's save time. So I have 1 hour. I still like to say a word concerning the matter of regulating. A brother prayed, "Lord, regulate me." Well, that's the wrong prayer. Whoever prayed that, you regulate yourself. You don't pray, "Lord, consecrate me." Right? Do you pray that way? No, you consecrate and you regulate. And this word, just like consecration, is actually a all-inclusive word. That word regulate, that encompass the whole spectrum of things that we should do so that we can better cooperate with the Lord for what he wants to do in us. I generally think that when it comes to spiritual things, we're a bunch of loose people. If there's one thing I learned from Brother Lee, observe and learn from him over the years, was not only, you know, how discipline, how good character, or and all of this. Yes, but all of this sprang forth from one thing, and that is he was serious with the Lord and with what the Lord has commissioned to him. And not a day was lived in frivolously and carelessly and heedlessly, wastefully. Every moment is seized and every opportunity is seized to live in a way for the Lord. And so I venture to say for all of us, we have actually lost a lot of time already. Yeah. You have already lost a lot of time already. Just by your and my easygoing lightness and carelessness. So to regulate oneself means, you know, here you are, you just got appointed to be the president, right? Or elected to be the president of the country. I don't care who you are, you have to regulate yourself for that job, for that commission. So this is why in the New Testament, a big virtue is called self-control. It's a form of regulating, which includes a kind of self-denial. Are you following me? Not allowing your preferences, your appetites, your either fleshly or soulish or otherwise, to take the better of you. You're an athlete now. You're going to go into the games. You have to run the race, and you have to do it lawfully as one who contends in the games. And so you have to do all kinds of things to regulate yourself to make sure you would finish the race, you would even win a crown. So Paul was the best example of this. So my brothers, I don't care about like some other person. Some years ago, he wants to do this kind of training to train up CEOs. He was going to train up CEOs in the Lord's recovery. You know, CEOs, people, chief executives, who can run this company or run this business. Brothers, forget about that. That only engender ambition and all manners of striving and impurities. We're not here to raise up no CEO. Forget about that. We're here that the Lord may find mercy, that we may find mercy, that the Lord would gain us to be his stewards and his ministers in his household for the building up of the body. So, brothers, I can only say this much more. I cannot tell you what to do. I try myself, not enough, but I try to regulate myself in this, in that. The older we're getting, the more, you know, we need, these old people need to take care of their health so that we can serve and work longer. I tell you, that itself is regulation. Your diet, your exercise, your all this with a purpose, right? For the Lord. And brothers, it's not a matter of how much gift you have. You know, some will say, yeah, I'm just a little potato. I don't have that much gift. No, I don't care how much gift you have. Sometimes gifted people are the loosest people, and they become useless. Useless. And they wasted their gift shamefully. But there are some who have not that much, but they regulate. They are purposeful. They exercise. They become very useful. So don't even use gift as an excuse, or you don't have the gift, or you're not smart. Or No, brothers. Regulate. Consecrate and regulate is my two words I give to you today as a constant condition that you have to find yourself in all the time. You know, consecrate means what? Means the fire on the altar of the bronze altar of the burnt offering must be perpetual. So that, you know, the burning of the fire on the Old Testament altar was not an event. It's 24/7. From evening to morning, you have to keep adding wood, so that what? So that that fire will be nonstop. So don't look for eventful consecration, you know. Like in the old camps, you throw a piece of paper into the fire once a year. No. When you're young, that's okay. But today we're the priests, the adult priests, serving and the Lord and bearing the burden in the tabernacle. We cannot live that way. You must condition yourself and add the wood yourself all the time so that you're perpetually in a state of consecrate, of being consecrated. I would say regulation is the same. Then you say, what is regulation in this picture of the offering? Well, did you read all the instruction to the priest how to take care of the burnt offering, you know, the ashes? You remember that? The wood, am I right? The fire, you know, this, that, and the other. All those are the regulation, which comes from the word regulate, that these priests have to abide by day and night, so that this particular service of theirs, called the priestly service, would not be compromised, would not be, what, reduced. So the fire on the altar is the consecration, the perpetual fire and offerings. But the priestly, every day, this priest, I don't know what he sleeps in his pajamas, but in the morning he has to put on all this complex garb, at least the high priest, and the Levites, and wash the clothes. They have to, you know, if it touches something unclean, that's regulation. All aspects of your life, brothers, you have to regulate yourself and not allow yourself to be kind of easy and loose and then slip a little bit there and slide a little bit here. I tell you, cumulatively, you compromise your service. You cannot serve well in that way. Your time management, how much time you spend on this, how much time you spend on that, the way you're with your family, with your wife, with All these things, you have to be constantly regulating yourself for the sake of the priestly service. Brothers, the more you do this, you will find the more useful you will be. So I give those two words to you. Now, we come to the content of this training. And let me say again, this training is probably unlike any training that you have been in. In fact, as helpers, you're going to all be helpers in this training. Let's banish the word trainers, because you are not a trainer, neither am I. Only the Spirit is the trainer. Only grace is our trainer. Let's also get rid of the word teacher, because teach is always already put you on a pedestal. So don't become a teacher. Let no one call anyone a teacher. Am I right? We're just brothers, right? So let's get rid of the word teacher. We're all helpers. We're all in this room helpers in this training. Amen. And the first thing is we need the help. All right? If you don't get help yourself, you're going to not be of any help to anybody. So now, the first, these lessons that we have prepared, on the one hand, they're quite wonderful. On the other hand, as we're going through this, I'm thinking of redoing all of these lessons. Now that I got my hands on the driving wheel, I find that this car is not quite, the wheel size is wrong. The engine oil is a little bit wrong. But that's okay. Don't worry about that, okay? Don't worry about that. But this training, brothers, with a view to rebuilding our church life, to renewing our churches, must begin as it must begin according to God's way of working, of the principle of God's word, with a personal revival of every member. I stress the word personal. So you have here lesson one called Becoming a Vital Person. So this is where it begins. Everything that will happen for everything for a proper church life, for a prevailing church life, must begin here with a personal member revival. You cannot jump over this. Well, you say, I'm kind of revived. Well, praise the Lord for that. But I think you can be further revived. None of us can say, I'm fully revived. I don't think so. In fact, talk about revival, it's another condition. We're not talking about an event of revival we want to generate in the local churches through this training. We're talking about rebuilding the churches into a condition of revival. Now, I hope you wrote that down. And that's the first thing. We want to, in the Bay Area, I mean in Northern California, churches that are in a state of revival. A state of constant revival. That does not mean we're jumping up and down all the time. That doesn't mean we never have bad days. That doesn't mean any of that. But it does mean that this condition, individual condition, and the collective condition is always in a revived condition. And that is possible. That is possible. We experience this. We experience this. And it is quite attainable, if we work on it, if we build this up. So, brothers, it is not just about giving a few training meetings and go through the lessons, done, you know, like the Sirat, done. No. Brothers, we are embarked on a big, huge work in Northern California. That is to rebuild the local churches into testimonies as they should be. And all the things about gospel, about shepherding, about increase and spread will come out of that in a valuable way, right? Okay. So for that reason, yesterday we have much fellowship, brothers. We've decided, instead of just hurrying and sticking to some kind of syllabus to finish these 36 lessons as we had planned, which means originally that this next month in May, I believe tomorrow, Lord's Day, all the churches will give the saints yet another better presentation of the burden of this family training, promoting it. I hope so, with the speaking from today. And then next week, am I right? Next Lord's Day, a week from tomorrow, we will begin the actual training in the churches. Okay. We decided that for this first month, that is the month of May, we will just stick with lesson one. Lesson one. We will not go to lesson two. We'll see what happens in June. But for this month, and we're wading into the water, so there's a lot of learning, there's a lot of probably adjustment and things. So this gives us also that kind of a time, right? God does everything perfect the first time. Man does everything wrong the first time. So we need to improve and learn, and we're giving ourselves some time to do that. Because even in every church, situations are slightly different, and you have to take care of that to have the best results with this training. Okay, so lesson one is on being a vital person. This means we're going to spend 4 weeks in May at least to bring forth this matter, to bring out this matter, to infuse this matter into the saints. And more than that, as an educational, more than an educational exercise, it is to begin to bring the saints into the practice and experience of being vitalized and becoming a vital person. Right? So please get rid in your head. Just give a class, done. You know, you're the professor, right? You show up, give the lecture, done. No, this is not a class in that way. This is not a lecture. It is not a training in that kind of a way. The emphasis is practice and experience. And therefore, my dear brothers, the first thing is you and me have to be revitalized. Have to become, to some degree, a vital person. Now, roughly speaking, I'm going to, I mean, generally speaking, because of time, here, this matter of being vital are taken very much from Brother Lee's Latter-day ministry, okay, starting in the 80s, especially the late 80s, not early 80s, not mid 80s, but late 80s in Taiwan, where this is 88, 89 era, when the God-ordained way was already presented, you know, the steps of the God-ordained way, Brother Lee came in and talked about how to carry this out. Now it's about carrying it out. And the famous words that he would use is you have to become a vital person to take this God-ordained way. If you're not vital, you cannot take that way. So he has two famous words. Number one, he said, being revived every morning. Remember that? And then overcoming every day. Huh? or being revived day morning by morning, and more accurately, and being and overcoming day by day, day by day. So we are absolutely following that before we even talk about gospel and fruit bearing and all of this. We must start with this. We must start with this. So, becoming vital with the matter of revival and even resulting in an overcoming daily life. That means a daily life in the Spirit and living Christ. And both must be a kind of condition, a condition of a saint before he can carry out things in the Lord's way and to have that kind of a prevailing living church life for the Lord's testimony. So this is where it must begin, brother. So let's spend time and repeat this and shepherd the saints into this at least to some degree. At least to some degree. The second thing that we use as our sources are brotherly's vital training, vital group training, excuse me. That would be a few years later in 1993. And the first chapters, actually almost the entire book of book one, the three books, book one on the urgent fellowship concerning the vital groups, which was Brother Lee's God-ordained way training in America, quite different from his training in the Far East in Taiwan. He also began there. In fact, he selected this word, vital groups, which he never used in China, or rather in Taiwan. Never used. He only used small group, he used home group, he used all kinds of descriptors, but never vital group. He used it for the first time in this country in Anaheim, 1993. For a reason. Because it's about vitality. It's not just forming a group. It's a vital group. And he always, and if you go back and read this, and I absolutely encourage you to read those messages again, especially the first messages, if you have not done so, you owe it yourself to read it. And brothers, regulate your time to read the ministry. Okay? And talk about regulation. I think this is a great area of non-regulation. You know? The internet is not regulated, right? And I mean that in our being, it's not regulated. And so much time is lost that we can be reading and gaining and learning. We spend time on other things. So, go back to that first book. You don't need to go to the other books. Just go back to the first book. It's almost all there. And the first thing he said of a vital group, he said the vital group starts with one person. You know, there's something called one-man group, like a one-man band, right? Burley said the vital group starts with one person who is vitalized and who then is burdened for the Lord's need. Okay, so this is where we get this concept, and I have full assurance that we're doing the right thing in leading the saints in this way. All right? Now, there may be some saints that, oh, I've seen this before. I read this before. This is old stuff. I'm quite revived. Thank you very much. Well, I think a person who says that probably is not that revived. I recently went away a couple of days with my family, grandkids, to a little get a little rest in some of these houses, and they have a great big fireplace, you know, two-way fireplace there, and so it's a little cold, and so I was given the job to light the fire. in that fireplace, which is not my forte for sure. But I have to do it. So my goodness, you need dry logs. If you have sogging wet logs, forget about it. I mean, these are all regulations, right? You need really dry logs. And then you have to have these, I never knew these, they have these whole basket full of these tiny sticks. They have a name for it. Huh? Huh? Kindling. Yeah, I found out they have a little sign kindling. So these things, and you use those things, catch on fire quick. And what you do is you light them first, and then you put a lot of them, and then they begin to light the big logs. And of course, you need the match and a few other things. And then you light it, and then you just cannot light it and then go away. Mind, you have to tend to it. You have to make sure that there's the air, right, the oxygen flowing through it. And then here, there's not enough. You have to get another kindling in there, whatever. And then it took quite some time before the big log caught fire. And even with that, you still have to watch it, because after a while, that you have to get rid of some of these dead, what do you call it?
Ashes
and even some of these charcoal things, so that you can have space for more fresh logs. And in other words, I mean, that night for me to keep that fire going, I even have no time to eat. I have to keep doing this and doing that so that my family would be warm. Brothers, you think this is just lighting a fire. Brothers, the principle. You think your church could be just, renew, revive, hallelujah, whole night long. You think so? If there's not someone constantly tending to it, there won't be that warmth. There won't be that heat. There won't be that light. Brothers, our church is this fireplace. Your church is this fireplace. Who is tending to this? And first, you have to tend to yourself. Then that fire will go to the next log. Am I right? And you put log upon log, and eventually the whole thing burns. And so Brother Lee said, start with one. Now, brothers, I would like to tell you, that one is sitting in this room. Each one of you is that one. So that's my assignment. If you want to be a helper, I'm not going to tell you how to teach the lesson. I'm going to say the first thing is you be that one vitalized person. Amen. Then you will change your church. Just to teach a lesson won't change it. I guarantee you. But you becoming vitalized will affect the next brother, will affect another saint. And eventually, these warm and burning ones and glowing ones will come together. That's a vital group. But let's not even go there to the so-called vital group. Let's start with becoming vital, a vital person. So the first week, which is a week from tomorrow, you are going to do two things. Whoever will be sharing something, you know, I mentioned about taking 30 minutes in a 40-minute or 45-minute time as a third session in most cases. Some cases you may not do that. I'll talk about this in the third session. So you will present, one brother or two brothers will present two things. Number one, you present an overview of this burden, like what I just presented, of becoming a vital person. You're not going to go through every line, everything of this outline, but you're going to give the saints this overview of the importance of being vital. why we have to become a vital person, and so on. Okay? So you give that overview. And then the second thing you present is Roman numeral 1. Roman numeral 1. Just those two things. Just those two things. All right? And I want you, in Roman numeral 1, it says the God-ordained way starts from our personal revival. Don't worry about God-ordained way. Don't dwell there. Don't spend time there. It may even confuse the saints. That's not subject matter. Put a big box around personal revival. That's the burden. That's the burden. Number one, personal. Number two, revival. Or number one, revival. Number two, personal. Now, in this Roman numeral, and that's all you're going to cover that morning. You say, only that? Brothers, that's a lot. I tell you, without this, brothers, forget about everything. Forget about it. Now, in Roman numeral 1, what you look at these points here, these are all very good points from our brother. Look, don't let any of these lines go and say, oh, I know all this, they all sound the same. No, look, to be revived is simply to be touched by the Lord anew. Do you appreciate that? You know, that shows many saints today are not touched by the Lord anew. Maybe even you and me. We're just going through the routines of a Christian life, going through the motions of a church life. When was the last time the Lord touched you anew? Whenever the Lord touches us, we're revived. You have to help the saints to realize what is to be revived. It's not some Pentecostal thing. It's not this and that. It's whenever the Lord touch a human being, amen, that person is revived. Amen. God is the factor of revival. Amen. The divine life and the divine spirit, therefore, are the factors of this revival. So it can be said very simply to the saints. Dear saints, we need to touch the Lord.
Amen.
A very old even booklet among us, you know, a simple way to touch the Lord. But even that has gotten so old and so ancient and so lost among us. So do not, what I'm saying is do not take any of these, quote, quote, simple and basic utterances for granted. Because it's not just getting the point. It is being inspired, being convicted, and what? Result in a longing, a prayer of desire. Lord, I need to touch you anew. Amen. If you can do this at the end of that meeting, you're successful.
Amen.
The saints went away. They don't even remember what you spoke. They just went away with that thought. Lord, I'm unrevived. I have not touched you for a long time. You see what I mean? Then the training is successful. It's not how much information you pass on to them. But if you yourself don't have that longing, if you yourself are not revived to some degree, you will never be able to transmit such a longing into another person. All right, and then it says the way to experience revival is to contact Christ. Don't jump over that. Contact, touch. The Lord would have touched us, and we contact him. Now we come to the point. By what? By repenting and confessing our sins, failures, and darkness, thereby entering into him as the resurrection. You don't need to spend that much time on interpreting what is to enter into him in the resurrection. What is resurrection? Forget about that. Your main point in this training is how to contact Christ. Here it does not talk about saying, O Lord Jesus. That comes later. Okay? Those are just a way to help us. But here, the main point, brothers, is by repenting and confessing. And I will tell you, I'm extremely burdened about this. This is really what the churches need. And this is what every brother and sister need right now.
Amen.
The reason why Brother Lee is always living is because he's always confessing and repenting. He lives a life of repentance.
Amen.
The four pages I read in utero of Brother Lee's repenting prayers demonstrate that. Demonstrate that. Brothers, you and I, when is the last time we have some thorough repentance and confession? Really. Like Brother Lee would testify, he went up to a mountain. By that time, he was 8 years under the brethren, the best brethren teaching. He knew the types. He knew all the prophecies. But he was dead as a doornail. He hated himself. He didn't know what to do until one morning on the mountain, wherever he was. He cried out to the Lord. And when you cry out to the Lord, when the Spirit, you give room and way to the Spirit to come, the first thing is always conviction. You know, what does it say? Is it in John? It says the Spirit. Am I right? Will convict us of what? Of sin? Of righteousness and judgment, and you know. And then you come to the God-breathed word in 2 Timothy. All scripture is God-breathed. That means the Spirit word. The Spirit, the instant rhema speaking of the Lord as the Spirit in your spirit is what? The first thing is teaching. Number two, conviction. And then number three, for correction. And number four, for instruction, for righteousness. Am I right? It does not say here it's for nourishing, it's for supply, it's for enjoyment. For some reason, it does not say that here. For the equipping of a man of God, the Spirit word, or the God-breathed word, which is the living rhema, and that's what happened when the Lord comes to us to touch us, is always to teach, convict. Brothers, I am very concerned. Many saints have little experience of conviction. Morally, they know what is bad, what is good, what is sin, what is not sin. They have some idea of that. But I'm talking about the Spirit's conviction in you of how wrong you are, how sinful you are, how worldly you are, how despicable you are, how short you are, how, you know, all these things on failures and defects and wrongdoings and shortcomings. Convicted to such a point that you don't know what to do with yourself. You even cannot lift up your eyes to ask for cleansing and forgiveness. Like that man, right? You know, the Pharisee pray that flowery prayer. Not a iota of conviction. It's just religious. How much we have religious prayers. No spirits working. No conviction. But this man is what? He just, all he could do is beat his breast or his own chest. And say what? What do you say? Huh? Be what? Be propitious to me, a sinner. I tell you, that's conviction. you know, brothers, cleansing and forgiveness is automatic if the conviction and confession is there. You don't almost need to say, "Oh Lord, cleanse me. Oh Lord, forgive me." You just confess. And I'll tell you, one confession would lead to another confession. We might have confessed something, but there's so much more that is left unconfessed. And every time you just confess the top layer, the most recent layer, when there's a deep layers of unconfessed sins that have gathered over years or months, that it's just left there. You know, just now I used the story, the illustration of the fire. You know, one thing is you have to get rid of the dead wood, because it doesn't help the fire. It's just occupying space, and it doesn't add to the heat and the fire. It's just dead wood. It's like trimming, what do you call it? The wick, right? In the candlestick, am I right? It's to get rid of those dead, char wicks, so that the wax can fill the new wick and the fire can burn brightly. Brothers, that's what we're talking about. If you and I have times with the Lord like this for a longer time, for this kind of personal repentance and conviction, I tell you, you may stand up before the saints like that. What is that man in the Wales revival? Kendricks, yeah, huh? McKendrick. His, you know, with the miners, you know, all these miners in Wales. He just stood up. He could not even speak. He just started to weep. Not in a performance, of course. And in that weeping, the Spirit came in and convicted those miners. Brothers, I'm not here training you to weep, huh? Don't do that. But brothers, I have a point here. That if he is not that way, you think his weeping will mean anything? His preaching will mean anything? Something happened to this man. God touched this man. Amen. And so God's love can flow through this man. Amen. As a channel. Amen. Brothers, this is what I'm talking about. Don't go back and be a teacher and be an instructor and be a trainer. Go back with this, brothers, this afternoon and go up to your hill and spend time with the Lord to begin your confession. Amen. I cannot tell you what to confess. Only the Spirit will convict you on what you need to confess. You just open your being like that what? Like that fireplace. And allow the Spirit to flow. You don't even go to the Lord with some idea what to confess. You just throw yourself open to the Lord and let the Lord, for one time, tell you and touch you on what you need to repent and confess. I think in Taiwan, in the early training, some brothers list like 30 items that you need to go to the Lord and to check. Now, we're not going to do that. I find that to be a tad bit artificial. But what I mean is, to look at that list is good. So you realize, the breath of confession. You think confession is this, like this? The things that we need to confess is that much. Amen. Covers all that area. And now, I don't mean all the saints will immediately experience this, but nor you or I, but at least to some degree. Amen. To a much greater degree. Then, when you are with the saints, you're not presenting a message. You are ministering to them your experience of what you're talking about. That convicts. That helps the saints. That would put desire and longing. You know, when I hear testimonies, it stirs up desire within me and longing, because it's not you should do this, you should do that. It is, I experience this. I would just say, Lord, I want to experience this as well. If you are able to stir up this kind of longing within the dear saints, you've done your job. Now, even in 1, 2, 3, about a pure conscience, how many of our consciences are smothered and caked with dirt, windows to our soul, the conscience, is just filled with grime. Light cannot penetrate. Light cannot shine through. And we're still kind of going on as a Christian in the church life. It's quite possible. So, brothers, this matter of dealing with our conscience is through confession and repentance. Oh, I tell you, even this matter needs to be a make-up lesson for many dear saints today. Make-up lessons. You know, we say, oh, young people, we need to tell them to know their conscience. No, no, no. Old people needs even more. Caked conscience. Conscience that have lost feeling. Seared. We went through weeks of dealing with the conscience back in Eldon, and that results in such fire and vitality. And the way to deal with your conscience is by repenting. It says the Lord's blood is ready to cleanse us if we confess this and that. The Lord will forgive us and cleanse us. 1 John 1:9 has to become a new verse to all the saints. Amen. It does not say, ask for forgiveness, ask for cleansing. It says, confess and God is righteous and he will what? Forgive us and he will cleanse us. Automatic. Our side is confession. Confession is not to say I'm sorry. Confession is simply to admit and agree with your guilt, with your sin and wrongdoing and whatnot. To some, it may be certain acts of sin. To others, it may be certain impure motives, all manners of things. Just let the Spirit come. Then immediately we touch him, he touches us. This is the whole matter is touch. This is to be revived. This is to be revived. You don't need to look for some outward thunderbolts. This is to be revived, and this kind of revival must be fresh every day. That means maintained. Help the saints to live a life of repentance. In our time with the Lord, the main thing is to clear up our conscience, to get rid of our inner condemnation. This is done by making a thorough confession of all of our failures, defects, defeats, wrongdoings, mistakes, and even sinfulness to the Lord. Thorough is another important word here. Thorough. Now, by the third week, we will come back to Romans 5, which will even make the read this matter even more thorough, but help the saints with this. Okay, brothers, you and I must do this first. I especially charge you, brothers, to make it very personal. Not even with your wife. It's just you with the Lord. And I would like to ask you to just set aside or sanctify a period of time. How about, brothers, even in these 4 weeks, you know, the duration of this lesson, how about, brothers, regulate yourself to find one such time every week out of your busyness. You have time. If you just put this aside, you and I will have time. Go for a walk. You're in your bedroom, in your yard. Don't do this while you're driving because you'll be distracted. Be alone with the Lord. Be alone with the Lord. And don't hurry things. And don't just fall into just a kind of self-analysis or introspection. But just open. Just open. With the help of these words. Until the Lord comes to you. Until the Lord comes to you. The Lord may touch you about one thing. You know, be specific for reality. You know that song? Too much of our going to the Lord is general. Just general, I went to the Lord. No, go to the Lord for confession and repentance. That's a purpose, to touch the Lord in this way. And allow the Lord to speak. Allow the Lord to blow within you. Allow the Lord to stir within you. And allow the Lord to speak to you and touch you. Don't have an agenda. Don't have things to pray for. Don't even have some kind of concept of what this will be. Just be open to Him. And do this for 4 weeks. Find a specific time, maybe even a specific place that you will be with the Lord for this. I don't believe the Lord will shortchange any one of us. The Lord would not meet us if we're in this kind of what? Attitude. This kind of condition. What does He say? A contrite heart. He will visit. Am I right? This is in Psalms. This is in Isaiah. You know, even Psalm 51 is the top repentance of David after his colossal sin. This kind of repentance will make you close to the Lord. Will remove all manners of insulation between you and Him. You know, we cannot say, brothers, we're not touching the Lord. We cannot say that. That's not true. We do. But somehow, there is some insulation. So all the current is not passing through. Your light still flickers. Your light, because the plug is dangling. You know what I mean? Or has a layer of insulation. I like to see all of us, brothers, with solid plug-in and just shining with nothing between all these things. This burden for confession and repentance has been on my heart for myself, for the recovery, for the saints, for the longest time. I feel we jump over this, we don't consider this as important, or this is some kind of a, you know, formal procedure. Let's get on. Brothers, 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 no, no. Let's have a new start. Shall we? This time in rebuilding the churches in Northern California, let's start here. Amen. At the base, at the rock bottom. All our future going on rests upon this rock.
Amen.
You trust me. Even how your church will be will rest on this. There's too much in us to repent, brothers. Too much. And that's all. This is the first lesson. Then, I don't have time, I have 3 more minutes. The second week, you cover Christian revival occurs in the morning. Please, brothers, even just attend this morning revival thing. Please, let's get rid of the morning revival thing. It's about being revived.
Amen.
And morning is a best time, is a good time. There's a lot of points here. You know that. But again, you yourself have to be newly revived every morning so you can even have a good conscience to tell the saints.
Amen.
Don't tell them you should be revived in the morning. Tell them how you will revive last Thursday.
Amen.
That would touch them.
Amen. Amen.
And a lot of our new revival in the morning may, over a period of time, be even a daily confession. As the word, you know, you read the word, whatever that day you... But that word work within you, the God-breathed word, to cause even more confession. There may be weeks of confession to unload, 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 to be empty again so that the Spirit can fill us. All right, and then the third week, we're going to cover 3, 4, and 5. 3, 4 are just 2 points. Really, it's 5. Really, 5. And this 5 covers not just confession. Look, A is to have that fellowship with the Lord continuously. That's how you're vital. So this is not just a Roman numeral just on confession. B is on confession, all right, of all these things. All these things. C is consecration. You have to help the saints to consecrate, to be a vital person. And D, number 4, is in unceasing and desperate prayer. More prayer. Where we have to rebuild a prayer life in the saints, which is the only way to sustain a personal revival, unceasing prayer or unceasing breathing. And lastly, the soaking and infilling of the outpour Spirit, which will be automatic if we are in such a state. Okay, I'm done with this hour. Brothers, did I get through with this matter? That don't be a trainer, don't be a teacher, don't be just an instructor. Those will, and I will say more about that. But the first thing is you and I needs to be renewed.
Amen.
And revived, and this is how we begin.
Amen.
Let's spend the next month.
Amen.
In a most serious way.
Amen.
Dear brothers, this time I don't care for so much for the breadth of information and truth and all. This time I care for depth.
Amen.
We've got to penetrate.
Amen.
We got to really hit the oil.
Amen.
Hit the water.
Amen.
Right? And this is the only way.
Amen.
We cannot engineer a revival. It's not humanly manufactured. But there would be no revival without human cooperation. And this is how we cooperate with the Lord. May the Lord really, really visit us.